Welcome to Canadian Defense Focus from CDR Radio, produced by Canadian Defense Review Magazine. This series of podcasts features interviews with leaders and experts in the defense industry, as well as reports and profiles on the very latest in defense technology.
Welcome to another edition of the Canadian Defense Review Radio Podcast. CDR is Canada's leading defense industry magazine and news source. Hello, I'm Mark Montgomery. This time on the CDR Radio Podcast, we're speaking with Ottawa-based NORTAC Defense founder and CEO, Tim Grant. Mr. Tim Grant, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hello, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
I'd like to start out with a little bit of background about NORTAC. Tell me why and how you began the company.
So NORTAC was formed in Ottawa in 2010, but actually there was a bit of a backstory there because we started off as another company in Iraq and in Afghanistan, where we basically, if you like, digitalized the operational area for the security contractors who were working there. Using satellite short burst data, and we were pushing those data feeds into the US military battlefield management systems. You knew who was who, you knew when they were in trouble, you knew exactly where they were. And that collapsed the timescales in terms of being able to respond to them and saved a lot of lives. And that became the de facto way of operating in those environments. So we realized that actually there was a military application for what we were doing, and hence setting up what became NORTAC Defense in Ottawa.
Tell me a bit about the products then. How does your product differ, or product line differ from others in this field?
Where we started was really using satellite short burst data, which had some great attributes to it. First of all, it was secure. Secondly, it was quite cheap. And thirdly, it was very reliable, but it meant we could also have very small devices which were affordable. But what we did with NORTAC Defense was very specifically design everything for the defense sector. So whilst we're dual use, it was very specific for the defense sector, taking all the security considerations into account. But yeah, that's where we started. Where we have developed to is much more than satellite short burst data. So we've actually evolved, I guess, into a data fusion hub where we are using LTE networks, your mobile phone networks, satellite, radio, and we're getting all the devices to be able to speak to each other and have a common operating picture where you can see devices on maps, okay, coming from different communications bearers, and allowing those devices to actually be interoperable and speak with each other. So overall, I'd say it's our concepts around being a data fusion platform and also the fact that we're very specific for the defense sector.
This is still a competitive market. So what are the advantages of NORTAC?
Well, the advantages, which is coming out particularly now, first of all, our devices, and we do build devices, are specific for the defense sector. So they can do more than most commercial devices can do. And what it allows actually devices to speak to each other rather than just back to a platform. But also it's the advanced encryption and security on it, which is becoming very prevalent now as, you know, a lot of data on satellites, if it's not encrypted properly, is quite exposing and vulnerable. And we've got clients now who are having to switch from commercial systems to these more secure systems.
But I understand that a lot of your systems are sort of based on COTS devices and COTS technology.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It is all commercial off the shelf. I mean, we integrate normal COTS systems from other suppliers, but actually there's elements of what we have to build ourselves, both for the satellite short burst data networks. So we've got our own devices, something called the NORTAC Wave, which does stuff which is very specific to our capabilities and incorporates machine-to-machine communications and advanced encryption in it. And the same for our devices that go on your smartphones. So we'll develop smart technology for those. That said, we will still use all the commercial devices that are available if a client wants those. If they want something a bit more basic, then they can integrate those into the platform. So we're very much device agnostic and network agnostic.
And what about cost? Because systems, you know, governments nowadays are very concerned about costs for everything, especially the military. So how does this, again, compete against others in this market?
We do compete. We are, as I say, we're very specific to the defense market, but you know, we're still not talking about exquisite systems here in terms of cost. When you compare it to the sort of defense primes, we're at the other end of the spectrum in terms of costs. And indeed, that's a core part of our strategy is international markets and sort of countries outside of NATO as well. So we have to be affordable to them. And so it's definitely a part of the equation. We are cross-competitive.
What about the idea of protecting your technology if you're selling it around the world, as you would want to? Mm-hmm. How do you protect your intellectual property?
This has taken us 14, 15 years to develop. Okay, so this is not easy to replicate. We also have, you know, elements of patented technology, particularly in the hardware. So it would just be a very, very difficult task to replicate it. Okay, that's it. Everything can be rebuilt in different forms, but we've got a massive head start here. This is complicated and it's taken us a long, long time. So for somebody else to come and replicate it, first of all, it would take them a long time. Secondly, they would probably fail at it. And thirdly, it would cost them an awful lot of money.
What projects are you working on now towards the future?
Well, we're very much looking at you know, what's going on in NATO and Europe. You know, a key plank of our strategy is interoperability. And we can talk a little bit more about that strategy with the platforms. So, you know, it's not only it's how do different units and formations work with each other, but how indeed might different countries have a layer of interoperability between them. And from a dual use perspective, you know, how might the military work with civilian agencies, disaster management agencies? So those sorts of concepts and providing an element of interoperability there is a key plank of our strategy.
How do you accomplish this interoperability when you have perhaps different countries with different technologies doing the same sort of communications strategy?
The interoperability comes from having our Titan platform. So the I don't know, you've seen our Titan wheel, which shows that basically at its center, we're a data fusion platform integrating LTE networks, radio, satellite, and other platforms and sensors. The interoperability piece comes from different countries actually having the Titan platform and being able to federate those platforms for a particular situation and then defederate once that operation is over whilst maintaining the integrity of your own sovereign data. So in short, yes, you would need to have the Titan platform, okay, in different organizations, but they could federate.
Where do you see this field going, though, in the future, giving the technology the speed of technological advance?
Where the technology is going, hopefully, is kind of, you know, where we're taking it in our field. You know, we're taking our Titan platform. We're making sure that we can have two Titan servers speak to each other and then multiple Titan servers be able to speak to each other. Where we're going with it is, you know, because this is about data within a military context, you know, data is the, I guess, is the weapon system in the future. And then it's how do you plug into battlefield management systems, if you like, the battlefield web. A good example of this might be what the UK are doing with their digital targeting web. And you're providing a set of data feeds into some sort of targeting system like that. And every country will have its own version of that digital targeting web in the future. And we have to be a component of that because we're bringing in data feeds from many different devices, many different sensors, many different platforms and sources in order to help with the decide element of the sensor decide act or sensor decider effector chain, we're very much in that decide element of it, which is all about data and then be able to make the right decisions from that data. And inevitably, AI starts to come in to the equation once you've got the right data sources and you know what questions you're trying to answer, and you start to bring in AI to speed up that tempo.
A reminder, you're listening to the Canadian Defence Review Magazine podcast. I'm Mark Montgomery, and today our guest is Mr. Tim Grant, founder and CEO of Ottawa-based Nortac Defence. So, Mr. Grant, Canada has this ideas program to promote technological innovation and cross-pollination of ideas between the private sector and businesses like yours. Has that been an advantage to you? Have you taken advantage of that?
We're absolutely taking advantage of it. And we're in that process at the moment, waiting to hear if this gets picked up. And, you know, there's ideas, but there's, you know, there's a lot of other schemes as well. There's NATO Diana, which is also of great interest. You know, we're down to the final few on the latest round of NATO Diana. So down from whatever it was, 3,600 companies or whatever at the beginning. I think they're down to a final 70, and then probably about 20% of those will get it. But yeah, we're through to the final 70. Yet to hear about ideas, we're certainly participating in it.
The Canadian government, given the situation geopolitically now with our neighbors and allies, the idea that this is a Canadian company, how important is that for Canada to have a Canadian company like yours as a defense contractor?
I think it's extremely important. You know, we've got, I think we've got important intellectual property which can be developed here. The timing is obviously extremely good now for a defense ecosystem in Canada, which is what they are talking about. The funding is now there. So I would like to think that Nortac Defence is going to become an important part of that SME, SMB defence ecosystem moving forward. And indeed, very much in a sort of on a collaborative basis with other smaller defence companies in Canada who represent tactical level data feeds where we can work together. So yes, that said, I think there's also, one has to bear in mind how an international strategy might work, whilst bearing in mind you still want to maintain sovereignty, okay, for Nortac Defence Canada, okay, how might it work if you're setting up an organisation in the UK or some other country? Because let's face it now, with this more, if you like, multipolar world, defence spending is increasing, but in general, there's a desire to maintain sovereignty of IP and economic benefits and growth benefits and jobs, etc. So trying to get that equation right when you're trying to work in multiple jurisdictions and how you do that, depending on who's paying for development, probably comes back to how you set organizations up in other jurisdictions now. And I think we start to move away from the conventional subsidiary type relationship, possibly more to sort of licensing source code and allowing other countries to be able to develop intellectual property on top of that source code, but on their own dime. So hopefully that kind of makes sense. I think it's changing how you might enter new territories.
Here's a double-sided question. The fact that you are a Canadian company and the new policy of Buy Canada, and the fact that you're a Canadian company and not affected necessarily by ITAR, how does that affect your positioning in the world market, both in Canada and worldwide?
There's a great ecosystem in Canada of smaller companies who I think now will get a chance to grow, but I think we can collaborate with them. And I also think we can collaborate with best athlete capabilities from the likes of Ukraine and what have you, and bring them in to bear to Canadian operators. And we might be a very good mechanism to do that. Indeed, we are working into other markets outside of NATO as well, whether it's in the Far East or South America. And I think Canada has a very good reputation. People want to work with Canadian companies. It's a huge benefit that you sit outside of ITAR. And I think there's also a very significant trust factor with Canada. So the opportunity to develop particular sort of dual-use technologies and to grow exports is absolutely there from being a sort of totally Canadian company.
And in terms of Canada, we've spoken to several suppliers such as yourself and so on. Procurement has always been a bit of an issue in this country. What are your thoughts on that now, given that the government has created a new agency for procurement?
Well, yes. I mean, the Defence Investment Agency is very interesting. Obviously, it's, you know, $100 million and above at the moment, so it doesn't come down to the sort of SMB sector, but no doubt that threshold will reduce in the future, I hope. But I think with the latest Defence Industrial Strategy and the amount of funds that are being committed and the other sort of initiatives that is being set up, the likes of Borealis and others, that money will start to flow down to the SMB sector. It's still early days. And I know, if you like, there's been a lot of rhetoric and the reality perhaps hasn't met that up at this point, but we are definitely seeing changes. We, as a company, are very, very fortunate to have a contract into sort of all the federal agencies through the shared services contract. So we do actually have a procurement channel, which hopefully will grow as we move forward.
Well, and speaking of moving forward, just as a closing thought, where do you see the company going in the next few years? Given that, for example, there's been a new impetus of the federal government wanting to spend money on defense.
I think we're extremely well positioned. You know, it's been pretty tough. We're a 15-year-old company, but we've got mature TRL-9 technology. It works. It's all about data and devices. So the potential to exponentially grow the company is absolutely there now. This is far from a startup. But with access to more procurement now, both within Canada, but also through exports, I think we're extremely well positioned to grow a very significant Canadian company.
Well, Mr. Tim Grant, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure, Mark.
You've been listening to another edition of the Canadian Defence Review Magazine radio podcast. I'm Mark Montgomery, and our guest today has been Ottawa-based NORTAC Defence founder and CEO, Tim Grant. Thank you for joining us.
Tune in next time for another Canadian Defence Focus podcast from CDR Radio.